Let us pray. God of conversation, we come to you today thirsty, thirsty for hope, thirsty for good news, thirsty for a glimpse of you. So today we pray, move in these words like a current. Give us the courage to wade into your story with open eyes and open hearts. Give us the courage to drink this moment in. Give us open ears to listen. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. Listen for the word of the Lord. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord not among us?" This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus was traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem. It's interesting to note that we are told it was necessary for him to travel through Samaria. We assume that that meant geographically it was required, but that's actually not the case. So keep that in the back of your minds. Why was it necessary? As we listen to the living word from John 4, 5 to 15. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share such things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. May your spirit blow through us and speak to us what you would have us hear. Amen. Dehydration is a tricky thing, and I bet you're all thirsty now that we've talked about a lot of water. Let's see, where's my water? Ha! They provide me some. Dehydration sneaks up on us. If we're not intentional about drinking that water, we don't get enough. How many of you drink the prescribed 8 glasses a day? 8 8-ounce glasses. That sounds like a lot, But did you know that that actually assumes that you get some out of the rest of the stuff that you eat and drink? Really, Mayo Clinic says every woman should have 11 and a half cups a day, and every man should have 15 and a half cups a day. How many get that? Oh, there's two? Two. So, the question of this week in our series, will you give me a drink? We're thirsty and we don't even know it. Water is everywhere. Google says 71% of the Earth's surface is water. Ecclesiastes 7 says all streams flow to the sea, but the sea is not full. Yet Samuel Coleridge's words from the Rime of the Ancient Mariner, they resonate. Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. The gentle lap of the ocean waves brings comfort, yet the thirstiest I have ever been is sitting on a beach right by those waves. The water we crave is at once physical and a spiritual thirst. Jesus asks for a drink, but offers living water. Are we drinking enough from the right well, from the living waters? How do we know that as we, a people, are so dehydrated? There are some signs of dehydration to watch for, among which are four that I want to look at this morning. Dry mouth and skin, hunger, fatigue, and a persistent thirst. No, it's not a science lesson, I promise. So dry mouth and skin. Think of where these people lived. The Samaritan woman walked back and forth from this well twice a day with a jar to get water. She gets a pretty bad rap. What do we really know about this woman? Many assume that she was a prostitute or an adulterer or a woman of ill repute, but really all we know is she was alone at this well in the middle of the day instead of surrounded by family or friends. And for some reason, she had many husbands. We don't know why. It may be very well through no fault of her own, through death. Some theologians point to her actions to give us a deeper clue about who she was. She runs to the town to tell people who Jesus is, who this person she's encountered at the well is, and they immediately follow her. Is this something you would do for a woman of shady rep? Everyone goes to see based on her word. Even though she was alone at the well, she acted as a disciple to the Samaritans. She was willing to drop her jar that was important for sustenance and daily survival. She left that and dropped it for the sustaining water of life, to spread the message of Jesus, of eternal life, of the gushing water that would fill the seeking of their souls. So why do we other and belittle this woman? When Jesus went to her, she represents the people that Jesus wanted to connect to. He needed water from her for his dry throat, and she knew that she needed the living water that he offered. And she craved to spread that to her people. She didn't hesitate once she knew what it was that was on offer. She didn't bargain, but she ran to share it. Jesus could have gone by a different way, but he went through the land that all good people would have avoided. He did this because he didn't fear the people who had every reason to attack or dislike him. Instead, he intentionally headed to Samaria. In the light of the day, it wasn't hidden, it wasn't sneaking, it wasn't in the dark. He wanted to connect, to include the people of the land in the connection that he was building with the Israelites. He would have been parched when he arrived in Sychar, and there's no doubt that it was about 30-some miles in between there that he was walking. He would have been in need of a drink. and he asks it from the Samaritan woman. But the extra clues of spiritual thirst are still woven in this. Another sign of dehydration is hunger. So we have a hunger, a craving for this connection. Jesus craved that too. There were other paths that he could have taken, and yet he ended up in the very town right by Jacob's land and a well called Jacob's Well. So John is reminding us that the Samaritan people, who were at odds with the Jews and seem unacceptable to all of the people involved in hearing this tale, they too were beloved children of Jacob, tied together by the land and by the water. The disciples are not in this story because they went off to the town to get food. And sustenance was important, and they had that hunger. But it's secondary to this hunger that we have for spiritual connection with and for one another. It can't be denied by any powers, no matter what. We thirst. Fatigue. The wars are waging around the world, and every day we are tired. The very Holy Land region that we study weaves us together and draws us into this fatigue. Can we remember the ways in which we are the same people instead of the ways we are a divided people? We are tired. It hovers at the back of every single interaction. It's the behind the scenes that we wish we could ignore, but it's kind of always there. Fatigue hovering. So how can life plod along as normal when the world is tearing apart at the seams? When it's tempting to just jump to good guys and bad guys, and can't we just stand with Jesus and his leaders, his disciples? But they all want us to turn towards peace. And God turns towards connection. Not just of this nation or that nation or this land or that land. Jesus reminds us we're all connected way back to Jacob. And a well that put down in search of tapping into waters that flow underground and are all connected back to that same sea together. But it is a persistent thirst. This thirst, this deep need to connect, and it's so vital now, more than ever. In the same manner that we have to be intentional about the water that we drink to stay healthy and be more like those two people who get enough every day, we must be intentional about our spiritual selves too. Take time to feed your faith, to nurture yourself. Remember the airline mantra of put your own mask on before helping others? We need to remember that. Compassion fatigue is real. It's a thing that can be overwhelming in a world that's tilting on its axis the wrong ways. So be gentle on yourselves and then jump back in to share the living water. As Diana Butler Bass reminds us, water is an ever-present symbol in the Bible. It represents chaos and cleansing. It represents death and renewal. It represents destruction and liberation. Oceans may separate us and the world may feel overwhelming, but those same waters also connect us. Each and every one of us need God, the living water. Every stream does indeed run to the same sea. We're dependent upon one another. Each of us desperately needs the other for this shalom and wholeness, a completeness, and a miracle of the peace to take hold. Thirst is persistent. The waters for the survival of the world. Jesus sat at the well, and he was tired. He had gone out of his way to connect in the light, in the brightest time, shining a spotlight instead of hiding the inappropriate connection, modeling to us today that we are in need of this same Holy Spirit connection, and we too need a drink. So loop back to the theme question, will you give me a drink? That question changes meaning so much depending on which of those words you hear first or hear the most strongly. Can you? Will you do it? Will you take time for the other? Will you look at the world's thirst and step up? Children of the world are depending on you. They need us. Will you be there for them? Give. We can give, but will we give of our all? Love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love your neighbor. Me. Even as you do unto the least of these, you also do unto me. Jesus reminds us of this. To a world that is in desperate need of a drink, the world is craving the spiritual waters of shalom. Only by stepping into the breach, being peacemakers, daring enough to go out of our way for the other, will we share the waters and calm the waves and move towards a lasting peace for all of God's children. Drink deeply and run to share. Our thirsty world needs you. Amen.